I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. It is Taz and the Moose with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live, Quicken Loan Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loan Supply. Simply understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mike, Pete, across the way, Bogish with your updates. We're going right up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time. 6 Pacific, couple hours left to play with. Coming up next hour, going to be joined by former Patriot linebacker Rob Ninkovich, two-time Super Bowl champion, will join us coming up your way at 8:20 a.m. Eastern Time, 5:20 Pacific. So Taz and myself look forward to that,
sir.
As we spent a lot of hour number one talking about, a lot about the Kyrie Irving comments. But we kick off hour number two as you're seeing players enter and exit the transfer portal. What is a mysterious place when you think about NCAA football players as they move from one program to the next. One of those players was now former Alabama linebacker, Alabama quarterback, I should say, Jalen Hurts, who we know went 26-2 as a starter. We know what he did in relief, stepping in for an injured Tua in the SEC championship game against Georgia. We know how it ended last year in the championship game against Georgia when he was replaced at halftime by Tua. So kind of ironic there. Handled his business very, very well, or has already earned a degree at Alabama, so you give him credit for that. And he is able to play immediately. And after having 9 different programs come after him, Taz, and taking 3 official visits, one at Oklahoma, one at Miami, and one at Maryland. That's where his former OC, Mike Locksley, is going to be the head coach with the Maryland Terrapins. He decided yesterday that he was going to play for Lincoln Riley and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting. It's, you know, this is a kid who, you know, everybody said did the right thing, Jalen Hurts, by not transferring because Tua came in and did what he did at Alabama, where, you know, we talked a lot about this young man, Jalen Hurts. But the thing is, I don't think anybody could say anything negative about him. We're seeing more and more transfers in college sports. And I personally don't have a problem with it. My son is a transfer athlete, so why would I have a problem? I'd be a hypocrite. But the thing is, I have to say, I think in this case, it's not good. It's real good. I mean, it's a perfect situation for Lincoln Riley and the Sooners. It's probably a really good fit for him. I'm sure he sat with Lincoln Riley. They went over the offense, talked about how they would expect him to fit in and play and be the leader of and be the quarterback of that deal. You know, if you look at Alabama, it's an interesting thing, right? You know, because you got, you know, Jalen Hurts leaving, who's an awesome, amazing contingency plan to Tua, okay? And we heard Andrew Bogus say it earlier in his update, and I've been reading about it, that a bunch of coaches have been leaving now, you know, Alabama. So a lot of people think, oh, my God, Nick Saban's empire is falling. Alabama football fans, Don't fret that. It's okay. you know as well as me, Saban will find a way to redeem everything and be fine and dandy this coming season. But I think it's a really interesting move right here, and I'm personally happy for the kid, and I hope it works out greatly for him at Oklahoma.
Yeah, you know, I think for Alabama, I think you probably expected it. It can't come as any surprise. He wants to continue to play quarterback, and that door was closed at Alabama. And unless you look at a role in which he's coming in blowout games late in the games in the third and fourth quarter, as you saw a number of times this past year. So, you know, he wants to continue his playing career. I mean, Alabama's got a guy that they defined as their best quarterback in Tua as the starter. They have to make sure that he holds up. You've seen a number of assistant coaches leave that Alabama staff, so Saban's got to get to work there. But, yeah, they'll be A-OK at the quarterback spot, and Alabama's not going anywhere as long as Nick Saban is continuing to run that program. I find it interesting for Oklahoma, where Lincoln Riley is, if you're a quarterback, especially a dual-threat quarterback, that's the place to go. They got the number one high school recruit in the country coming in, and he's going to be joining that program in January as an early signee. You know, I heard from him, and you know, you saw comments from him and his parents yesterday saying that they're A-okay with Jalen Hurts joining the program because Hurts is not going someplace unless he's going to play. You know, he's not going to go to Oklahoma unless he's basically been told he's going to, you know, he wants to play. He doesn't want to back up a freshman now at Oklahoma.
No.
He wants to, if he was going to go to Maryland, going to go to Miami, going to go to Oklahoma, and those are just three of the nine programs, Taz, he wants to play someplace. So right. I imagine Jalen Hurts is going to play next year for the Oklahoma Sooners, and he lands in a spot with an offense that, you know, is, and Jalen Hurts, he was kind of handcuffed with the idea that he's not a good thrower of the football. Remember, we had a conversation last year with Phil Savage.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was right after that that championship game where he basically said that Jalen Hurts is a better thrower of the football, and you see it in practice than you've seen during the course of these games. If he's able to cut it loose, now he's going to have the opportunity to throw it in Oklahoma. They're not going back to the old Barry Switzer wishbone. They're going to be throwing it for Lincoln Riley, and Jalen Hurts has got to throw it.
Yeah, no, he is. And listen, Jalen Hurts, I mean, this is a guy, I mean, who was a two-year starter at Alabama before Tua came to the fold. He brought the Crimson Tide to 26-2, dude, during his time there, you know, playing quarterback. So, and then he ended up losing the spot, as everybody knows, to the Heisman Trophy winner, Tua, who won the Heisman in 2018. So, you know, this is a kid who is a legit player. This is a guy who's he's older, right? He's a graduate student. So he's, what is he, probably, I don't know, he's probably 23 years old, something like that. So,
yeah, 22, 23.
So now you got an incoming freshman, no matter how good that kid is. You know, yeah, I'm sure him and his family, they don't have much of a choice.
He's the number one player, number one quarterback in the country.
And that's awesome. But the thing is, like, for them to say, well, we're okay with Hurts coming in to Oklahoma from Alabama. Well, they're not going to have any say. He's an incoming freshman. No matter how much hype there is on a kid,
well, I imagine that Lincoln Riley talked to them.
Of course, I'm sure he did. And this is, you're right. And this is the thing, though. Like, this is the tough thing with these super high-level NBA, I'm sorry, Division I college programs in basketball and football, where you're going to go on to play in the NBA or in the NFL, you know, where you're going to get these hyper, insanely super talented people, these young people to come into a program, and you got to hope you can keep them. You got to hope you can keep them because these coaches are all just trying to win and win and win and get in that college football playoff, be in that Final Four. So if you're Lincoln Riley, I mean, you know, you got an opportunity to get a guy who's 26-2 under Nick Saban, who there's a great chance you're going to be playing Nick Saban in the postseason in college football next year if you're Oklahoma. This guy knows just about everything how Nick Saban thinks. You know what I mean? Meaning Jalen Hurts. That helps the Oklahoma Sooners also.
Yeah, that certainly does. I mean, Lincoln Riley's got to also go try and emphasize a little bit of defense too. I mean,
well, that's
at some point in time.
Bro, you're right though, so, because at Alabama, right. Jalen Hurts went 26-2, but he had a great defense.
Well, right, he had
he's
a great.
Not getting that in
right,
a
he's not. He's not going to get that in Oklahoma. No. Well, what he wants, what he hopes to show, Taz, is that he could throw it a lot better. And Lincoln Riley has won, his quarterbacks have won two straight Heisman trophies, and maybe Jalen Hurts wants to throw himself into that kind of equation and have that kind of a year offensively. I mean, who knows? I mean, I if you are an Alabama fan, you can't cry over it. The kid wants to play football, and now he's going to get an opportunity to play at Oklahoma. He did everything that was right by the program, and now he goes and continues his football career as a Sooner, Taz, and I think a lot of the country, the way that he handled it,
yep,
the maturity that he showed, the leadership qualities that he showed, the fact that he was a good teammate. Tua talked about the fact that he was a good teammate.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, this is mine and that's yours.
Right.
It says a lot about him
yep,
as an individual, the way that he was raised. He's got a level head on his shoulders. I don't think there's anybody in America that's not going to be rooting for Jalen Hurts to have an unbelievable this year,
totally
year,
agree
this year at Oklahoma.
Totally agree with everything you said. And he remained patient as the backup. He was the starter. He was successful as a starter. And then he got benched. And then he comes off the bench, you know, in the SEC championship against Georgia. And when Tua got hurt and played great.
And brought Nick Saban to tears.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that. That's a good point.
Point, he was such a good teammate and such a good guy on that in that football program that Nick Saban was actually crying in happiness about the way that Jalen Hurts played and the way that he's handled himself through the entire situation. That says a lot.
It does.
Nick Saban, I wouldn't exactly say he's Dick Vermeil. He's not this softy There's someone that all of a sudden is weeping at anything. So
that guy would cry at anything.
Right. So I do think that does say something. So Jalen Hurts is now going to be an Oklahoma Spooner. Speaking of which, here's the other issue I have when we look at transfers. And it bothers me anytime schools go out there, and they finally relented. But Oklahoma, Austin Kendall was a quarterback that was looking to transfer to West Virginia.
Correct, yes.
And Oklahoma was blocking that transfer. They finally relented it, granted him his release, and to allow him to go play at West Virginia. And you've seen other programs do this. I remember Greg Schiano when he was at Rutgers. Tom Savage went there freshman year, didn't work, wanted to transfer. Wanted to go to Miami. Greg Schiano wouldn't let him go to Miami. So he let him transfer. He didn't go to Miami. He ended up transferring to Arizona. Then he finished up his career as a Pitt Panther.
It's horrible.
So you've seen this happen before. I don't understand. These are young men. They've only got one opportunity to play the sport.
Yeah.
I get that West Virginia is in the conference.
Yeah, it's in conference. That's the issue.
I understand that.
Right.
I get it, but Taz, let it go. Yeah. Let me ask you this. It's a great – do coaches – we just saw Ohio State – and hire a Michigan assistant as their new defensive coordinator.
Exactly. I know. That's
coaches can move
right there.
Coaches can move.
They can do whatever they want, but kids can't.
But kids can't.
But it's changing now for the better. But I get your point. It's changing for the better, and that's the situation for Austin Kendall, because he is going to be now a Mountaineer at West Virginia, who's also in the Big 12, for those that didn't realize, along with Oklahoma. And it would have been such a weird thing, too, right? You get a guy in Jalen Hurts coming from an SEC school, a power like Alabama, to Lincoln Riley, and then Lincoln Riley and maybe the AD at Oklahoma is like, well, Austin Kendall, though, he wants to leave now because here comes Jalen Hurts, so Austin Kendall's not going to play, and we're fixing to bring a freshman who's the best in the country, so Austin Kendall, what about his career? Well, he wants to go play for West Virginia.
Yeah.
Oh, No, they're in the conference.
Right,
yes.
Go play at Akron.
Right, exactly. No, let the kid go. Listen, I can just tell you, like when my son transferred, he was in a Patriot League school, and so he wouldn't have been able to transfer within the Patriot League. But his former coach said, it's okay. You know, he did the right thing, but he didn't end up going to a Patriot League school. But my point is, I think the coaches, most of them would say, go ahead, do your thing. Don't worry about it. Go. Because they do understand these are kids, you know, and it's their future and their life, you know.
Yeah, I think
this shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have got to the level it did, though, with OU.
Well,
with
and it did. It comes to, you know, and they get Jalen Hurts, and then all of a sudden it's A-okay for him to transfer to West Virginia, let the kid go. I mean, I still think it's a little bit more of an issue than you do, Taz, when you look at it, where I do think programs block, you know, whether it be SEC schools and everything like that, that you got to go and leave the conference and go play someplace else, which I think is a shame. I mean, I do, because I think a lot of things can happen to a young athlete in their college career, which then forces them to either want to change, whether it be coach, whether it be recruit, whether it be offense, whether it be family. There's a lot that goes into life. And athletes want to, you want them to be happy. So if they make a commitment, there's not. It's only a year-long commitment that schools can walk away from a scholarship. They can basically say it's not going to be there for you next year. You've seen that in NCAA basketball.
Happens all the time.
So
in other sports.
Now all of a sudden, so you sign a guy, he's a quality player, but then you as a university can block him and dictate where they're going to continue their playing career in college football. That's nonsense.
It is nonsense. But and remember, everybody was getting on Nick Saban last year, and he's like, well, just change the rule. You know, he's just playing. Saban's like, I'm playing by the rule. It's an in-conference thing, whatever.
Right, and that was nonsense from Saban
correct,
at the time.
Correct. Yeah. So now it's
and then he eventually relented.
He did. So, you know, it definitely puts the heat on the head coach, who's the front man, but a lot of it is the AD too. The athletic director is a lot of that heat falls on them too. So they use the head coach as the heater. They use the head coach as the front man, but. It's kind of like I think it's becoming like a thing of a past now where
it's
BS.
It really is.
I agree. Well, listen,
If you were at Alabama and wanted to then go play for Kirby Smart in Georgia, you should go be able to play for Kirby Smart in Georgia.
Coaches can
leave.
That's right.
They can make more money. They can all of a sudden say, leave. You know, they're in your room one day saying, you know, you're going to be part of this program for the next 4 years. And then the next offseason, they're on to coach another program, and you're left in the wake and saying, what the hell is this? I didn't commit to this guy. I think it's unfortunate, Taz. I hope you're right that is really changing in NCAA athletics, because – You've seen two instances now where public pressure, when it's been brought to the forefront, the program's finally relented, allowed the kid to play where he wanted to play.
Yeah, and it should be that way. It should be that way. I mean, and you make a super valid point about grown men coaches that are moving within, you know, conference to go get jobs to feed their families and to move on with their career. What about these kids? You know, these kids, they're working on a career to maybe go to the NFL.
Right.
So Jalen
Hurts. If they don't play, Taz, they're not going.
Right. Jalen Hurts or Kendall, whoever. Right. That's it. So, you know, I mean, you know, now
they have 4 to 5 years to be able to play some football. If they don't get reps and playing time, they're not playing on the next level.
What are you holding Austin Kendall hostage for if you owe you? For what? To be the backup? To be a really good backup? You know, is that what you're doing? Is that why you did that? So now you say, okay, he's got immediate eligibility to transfer to the Mountaineers. Okay, great. Well, it's a stinky look on Oklahoma. It really is.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't disagree in any way, shape, or form. And they're not the only one. And I brought up the Michigan defensive line coach, who's the defensive coordinator at Ohio State. I mean, you want to talk about knowing secrets.
Dude. That,
now, Ohio State just beats down Michigan, so they don't really need any help. But you think about that. Imagine if there would never be a player. Imagine a player is like, I want to transfer to Michigan. Are you serious? That's not happening.
I told you, man. I was up there several years back with my son at Ohio State on a recruiting trip.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't even say the name Michigan. They call the team up north.
But you have that, Taz, and coaches are able to do that. And players should be able to move.
Yeah, and
you're not getting reps. You're not getting playing time. They should be able to move. You want to do something different in your life. You want to major in something that school no longer specializes in, and another school does. You should be able to transfer and move.
Yeah,
only got one life.
And listen, just think about this. If you're another program, you know, I don't know, hypothetically, you're Clemson. Well, I mean, it's a bad example because of the whole Kelly Bryant thing. But let's say, whatever, let's say...
And they didn't block him from
No, anywhere. I know they didn't, but that whole thing... No, I didn't block him. But
No, yeah.
Let's say you're Notre Dame, right? You know, whatever. That's bad, too, because they're in the conference. Whoever. Let's say you said Akron. Let's say you're Akron. You know, and now you decide, or a bigger problem than Akron, whoever, Florida. And you decide that you might want to block a player from going in conference. You think about this backlash that the Sooners got.
Oh.
So that's why this helps the young men to if they want to transfer. Now, there's a lot of people listening to you and I right now, Moose, that are saying, I'll tell you what, you guys are crazy. You know, kids made a commitment, and that's it. You're supposed to be there 4 years. You're not guaranteed to start and all that stuff. And you know what? That all sounds great. That all sounds awesome until your kid, your son or daughter, is in a position where he or she either wants to leave the school for academic reasons or for social reasons, or for athletic reasons, or he doesn't, and some would say, oh, that's BS, that's the society we're raising these kids, you know, the tough gets going and they get going. You got to be careful when you throw those rocks at glass houses until you're living it. I'm just telling you.
No,
because I've lived it.
No, I get it.
As a dad, so it's tough. It, you know, I mean, you know, no one wants their kid to transfer. You know, but if the kid wants to, and my son had several different reasons, all good reasons, and he's happy he did. You know, so he's still very happy.
Right.
So,
yeah. I think in the competitive nature in collegiate football certainly is at an all-time high, and it's insane and to win, and I get it. But look at it from their perspective. You have guys that are looking to transfer who are not starting for you, and you want to block them for starting for someplace else. I mean, it's nonsense. Let them play.
Yeah, the blocking you can't do.
If they were that good or that important to your program, you would have kept them. Don't be a pig.
Yeah, and the thing is, and real quick to wrap it up, like the thing with like Oklahoma, you know, think about this. You mentioned it before. You know, if you're a quarterback looking to go to college, why wouldn't you want to play for Lincoln Riley? I mean, Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy, under Lincoln Riley. Okay, Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy, on Lincoln Riley. You know, so Jalen Hurts might be thinking, Lincoln Riley's got the secret sauce. And he might have the secret sauce.
Well, he might. But Oklahoma now gets a veteran quarterback that's got a ton of experience. They've got their freshman quarterback that they know is going to be their star of the future.
Right.
But this young quarterback can learn from Hurts, and they can have a successful year with a veteran signal caller coming out of the SEC.
No doubt.
It works all the way around. I want to hear from you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's your take on Jalen Hurts, his decision to now join Lincoln Riley and the Oklahoma Sooners program. Plus, we've got a special championship edition of 1v1.
Whoa.
We have our poll results from the last 2 days. We have our final matchup set for today. We've got another poll coming out. Biseglia and the team working on that. And we've got our 1v1 coming your way next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we got a special 1v1 coming your way next. As you followed throughout the course of the week, we did the AFC quarterbacks, NFC quarterbacks. Yesterday, we've got polls. We gave you our 1v1. And now we've got a matchup of two big-time combatants, two future, well, one future Hall of Famer, one that looks like he's well on his way to the Hall of Fame as well. But we'll get to that here momentarily. Bogus is in the house. Aussie Open update and all. Here he is.
Oh, tennis is coming. We'll start elsewhere. This report's brought to you by or sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This is how you want to prep for the conference title game. The Rams took the practice field yesterday without a single name on their injury report. They'll need all hands on deck Sunday in the Superdome. Nose QB Jared Goff.
Whenever you're in a place like that and it is loud, you know, you obviously can't hear very well and have to use a lot of visual signals and a lot of, you know, visual communication and just be on the screws just that much more.
From the AFC, Chiefs safety Eric Berry returned to practice yesterday after missing last weekend with that nagging heel injury. Away from the postseason, the Jaguars hiring John DeFilippo as offensive coordinator. Former Seahawks OC Darrell Bevell gets that same job in Detroit. College football, former Alabama QB Jalen Hurts is transferring to Oklahoma and can play there in the fall as a grad student. College hoops now. Number 8, Texas Tech, taking a 68-64 home loss from Iowa State. Number 20, Oklahoma, took a home loss from K-State, 74-61. Tulsa beat UConn, 89-83. Neither head coach, Frank Haith, nor Dan Hurley, saw the end of the game. They were ejected for a verbal exchange midway through the second half. Their second and final tease came when Hurley was actually walking towards Haith to shake his hand and end the situation.
Well, yeah, so we know that the context, we know the language that was used.
Hurley was apparently was angry about a foul call, said down the sideline to Frank Haith, like, "You're getting that, we're not." They went back and forth, the officials came over, they kept talking, they got technicals. It seemed to be over. Hurley starts walking with his hand out, and the ref thinks that he's going to further the situation.
Uh-huh.
Jumps in, tees them both up, and they're done.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
whoa. Whoa.
Uh-huh.
All right.
To the NBA, James Harden, the second player ever with back-to-back games of 55 or more points, 57 against the Grizzlies, then 58 against the Nets last night, but Brooklyn won 145-142 in OT in Houston. Spencer Dinwiddie scored 25 of his 33 points in the fourth and overtime. Steph Curry nailed 9 threes, scored 41 points as the Warriors outscored the Pelicans 147-140. The Jazz topped the Clippers in L.A. 129-109. Milwaukee a 111-101 win in Memphis. And the Spurs rallied in Dallas.
DeRozan isolated once again against Doncic. Drives him inside all the way in. Reverse layup is off the rim, though. Good rebound. Tipped up and good by LaMarcus Aldridge. Spurs lead it 101-96. 107 remaining in the game. Timeout, Rick Carlisle.
As Bill Schoening on Spurs radio, San Antonio won 105-101 after trailing by 19 in the first half. On ice, the Sharks' 7-game winning streak ending in Arizona 6-3. The Sabres a 4-3 win in OT in Calgary. And I've made you wait long enough. Here comes your tennis. Serena Venus Williams with wins today at the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic just took the first set from Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Guys?
Wow.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Bogish. Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you next hour. We've got a special 1v1. Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, championship edition. Let's go.
There it goes deep left. That ball is high. That is far. That is gone. Giancarlo, no si può scappare.
Brady takes the snap. He backs up. A lob toward Gronkowski. Left. Reaches out. Extends. Makes the grab as he dives to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
One versus one. The best versus the best. Taz, Moose, and you decide who is the best of the best. It's now time for 1v1 with Taz and the Moose.
LeBron into the forecourt, in on Ananobi, gets jumped toward the side, banks it up! The LeBron James legend continues!
It certainly does for LeBron. The legend does continue, and the legend of 1v1 does continue. We had some polls. Now, look at it, Patrick Mahomes beat out Tom Brady in our AFC Championship.
Excuse me. Is this a social media update?
Well, no, this was from 2 days ago.
Oh, sorry. I digress.
We did that update 2 days ago.
Well, I know there's a new poll, but before we do that, we got to make sure we,
I got you. I was getting to that. You could just...
Sorry!
That's all right.
My bad.
Don't jump it.
Take that on a podcast, Mike.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So, Patrick Mahomes slightly over as we got hundreds and hundreds of votes a couple days ago.
Yes.
Mahomes slightly over Tom Brady in our AFC title game 1v1. And we do have a poll update for the NFC Championship game.
Social media update, but anyway. So we got a 1v1 here. The best versus the best championship game. This is a Taz and a Moose. And what we have is the options of Pat Mahomes and Drew Brees. It's up and running for the next 23 hours. Currently, Moose, Drew Brees is winning 60% of the votes.
Well, I want to do the Brees Goff results.
Okay. That's another social media update. So, on that one, I don't know where that is.
It was 89% for Drew Brees.
It's on the rundown, too, if you want.
All right.
It was... Taz.
I think I missed part of the production meeting.
No, you were not listening. I led it right to the... NFC Championship game poll results are... And you're like, social media update? All right, here we go. It's Brees against...
Sometimes the show here between one of the co-hosts doesn't always hit a home run. Sometimes there's a bloop single. And this might have been a Texas leaguer.
Good hustle.
So, yeah.
Right. An excuse me hit. So, Brees dominated Jared Goff, as you would expect.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not just what he's done in his career, but obviously this year he's been an MVP candidate. And Jared Goff really struggled down the stretch in the month of December. So, as Taz was mentioning, we do have a poll up. Go to @TazAndTheMoose. The poll was just put up there. We do have some results, early results. Brees against Patrick Mahomes, correct?
Yeah. I feel bad now. This is kind of my segment.
What are those results?
Yeah, those results are, well, they're still up and running. They're in progress.
Correct.
So
what are
right
the
now,
early results? Returns.
64% for Drew Brees. Pat Mahomes has 36%. This will be up there for another 23 hours. So you have a plethora of time to go vote, ladies and gentlemen. And,
all right.
Maybe the host of the show. The two hosts should retweet this because I haven't done it either.
It's too early to call.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Let's get to it. A little 1v1. Shall we, Taz?
We did the opener already, so we're going right in.
Brees and Mahomes, who you got?
All right, well, you know me. I'm not one to spit stats. But I'll say it's tough if you look at the stats of these two players in their career because Drew Brees is playing a lot longer. Like, here's just something I was thinking about. Like, for example, I don't know off the top of my head, wins as a starter. Okay, Drew Brees has 155 wins, Moose. Where Patrick Mahomes, he's got 13 wins. So it's tough to, like, compare these two guys. And we've had this during the week with our 1v1 series.
Yes.
Quarterback Challenge 1v1 Championship Postseason Series.
Mm.
Name rolls off the tongue.
Right on.
And,
right.
Yeah, so...
Put that on a T-shirt.
Well, yeah. You need a triple extra large. A lot of words. I would go with, in this, I'm going to shock the world here. Shock of the world. I'm going to go with the youngster. Shock of the world. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
I don't know. I just think that he's going to have the... Yeah, you know, he is... He is just... It's just his... His accuracy is unbelievable. The strength of arm is unbelievable. His will to win, and that sounds so corny, is unbelievable. I would rather have you know, Patrick Mahomes. And I'm a Drew Brees fan. I respect Drew Brees. I love him. I think he's great. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's all this great stuff, and he's amazing. And there's a great chance his team will be in the Super Bowl this year, no doubt. And they could win it, no doubt, with him at the helm. There's no doubt. But for me, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. I think he's that new style quarterback. I think he protects the ball. He's smart with the ball. You know, he is that bullet-like release he has. He's got some athleticism in his body, too. I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes in this comparison here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna differ from that opinion. And Brees is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. Kent, Ohio, unquestionably has had a remarkable career. Has had an impact on the field and off the field down in New Orleans. And very similar to the AFC title game, you have two quarterbacks here. One is at the end of his career. One is just at the precipice of the beginning of his career. But we've already seen the brilliance of Patrick Mahomes year one as a official starter in Kansas City. He's going to be the MVP of the league and threw 50 touchdown passes in the regular season. He's a remarkable talent because he's a changer. He's right. An instrument of change. And that's easy to say sometimes and difficult to define. Well, what you look at Mahomes is, why is he an instrument of change? Because he does everything a little bit differently. He's got the arm strength to make every throw down the football field. He's got a great touch and feel. He can throw from different arm angles. He's got the athleticism to be able to move the pocket and avoid the pass rush as well. And is very, very accurate making throws on the run. Taz, you and I have been talking about, as everyone, Mahomes all season long. I think he's the most physically gifted quarterback in the National Football League. And he has not accomplished what Drew Brees has accomplished. And we're not insulting Brees this morning by going with Patrick Mahomes. I just think he's that good of a quarterback. You and I are in agreement here. And if you're looking at a one-versus-one matchup, Brees and Mahomes, right now sitting here on this Thursday morning in January, I'm going to take Patrick Mahomes. So we're both in agreement there. Mikey B, what do you think?
I agree with you guys. I'm all in with Mahomes. It was a special season. We saw things from the quarterback position we had never really seen before. No-look passes thrown in the opposite direction. He amazes me. And if this game was, let's say, played, I'm going to hypothetically put these two teams against each other in the Super Bowl, and this will be played in a neutral site. I know it'll be indoors. But you take away that home crowd of the Saints, I think it's Mahomes, and I love what I've seen from him.
Yeah, all right, you're going to take Mahomes. All right, Pete?
I'm going to be the contrarian of all of you guys, and taking Drew Brees. Because as Mike said, if you put them in the Super Bowl, Drew Brees has the advantage, has the experience. He has the coach, and he has a dome stadium, which will help him, I think.
So you're undefeated at home.
Yep.
Are you sure, Pete, that you're not being a contrarian just to be the contrarian and just to say contrarian on the radio?
No, because I have a hard time saying it. So I am a contrarian for those reasons.
Nice.
Drew Brees is my guy.
All right, Drew Brees. So three for Mahomes, one for Drew Brees. What says you? Hop online. At Taz of the Moose. The poll is up. You got 20 hours to vote until showtime tomorrow morning and Friday morning. We've got an action-packed Friday, big football Friday coming your way.
Tomorrow, today, we're packed. We're packed everything.
We got picks coming your way tomorrow, everything and the like. Winners all over the place, making you money on Friday mornings.
That's what we do, bro.
Right here on CBS Sports Radio. That is. But now it's the time for you to vote. Hop online at Taz of the Moose. Brees or Mahomes, our final edition of the quarterback series this week.
Challenge.
Who do you like? Who do you like? Let me hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 is your number to call. Let's head out to Pennsylvania, Taz. It's Jared. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jared?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Jared.
I had two things real quickly, but the 1v1, I got to go with Brees. I've called many times before. I'm a Redskins fan, and, you know, after seeing RG3's rookie season, man, I thought he was the future. Many people thought he was the future after his rookie season, and I just can't be a believer in a player, even though Mahomes is absolutely amazing, until I see two or three seasons out of them.
Okay.
Just because of, you know, I just you got to see that they can last. You know, they can take the hits. They, you know, injury can stay injury-free and kind of just stay consistent. So I got to go with Brees on this one.
You know what? If you look at it from just this year, if you're not looking, if I'm asking you right now, if you're going to take Brees or Mahomes for one game, who are you taking?
I would take Brees.
Okay.
Because he's proven.
All right.
You know, it's Mahomes, I think, is going to do amazing things in the league, but you know, until you get to that big game, and you know, you don't know how they're gonna play. So,
Jared, you feel, and that's cool. That's you're entitled to your opinion, obviously. But you know, so you feel it. Kind of sounds like you feel like the other shoe's yet to drop with Pat Mahomes.
Not necessarily, but I think it can drop. I think it can. I'm just saying that you know he hasn't played. You know, Texas Tech isn't this juggernaut in college football. You know, he hasn't played in the college football playoff. He hasn't played in a national championship game. You know, like I need to see that he can handle that pressure, and you know, can handle the big scene and the big game. So it's going to be exciting to see. And
but Ben Roethlisberger went to Miami, Ohio, and then not exactly like Alabama.
I would have said early on that I need to see it from him too.
Right. I hear you. Okay. That's cool. We'll see. I think he's going to, you know, keep flourishing. But you never know. You could be right. Maybe next year, once defensive coordinators figure him out, things change a little bit. Who knows? Could be. He's very unorthodox, though. And that's why it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Pats this weekend because of Belichick and that mindset defensively.
Yes, it will. And then I had one extra question for you guys, going back to the conversation that you had before on the transfer process.
Yeah.
Like, I understand all sides of this. It's a tough situation because – you know, the players definitely, you know, when a coach leaves, I 100% think there has to be something in place to allow them to leave. It just doesn't make any sense that this coach is saying, you know, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be your coach. And, you know, they're committing the program, but they're also committing to the coach. So, you know, I think that's a tough situation. However, I also don't think it's fair to the coaches if a player just decides to get up and leave. I think there has to be something in place. You know, these coaches are busting their butts to go and recruit these players, and they're recruiting specific players for specific positions. They're not recruiting, you know, 10 quarterbacks to keep them on the, you know, they're on the roster in case, you know, one goes down, two goes down, three goes down. They have three quarterbacks, maybe four. And you have, you know, a couple, you know, leaving for whatever reasons, you know, they got beat out or whatever. It just doesn't seem fair to the coach that is there, that is staying, that they would be able to just kind of lose players, you know, willy-nilly. So it's a tough situation.
I disagree with that last part. I get what you're saying, dude. I do, Jared, but first off, these coaches, it's their career. They're getting paid, okay? They're adults. This is their career. So things happen. With players, you're dealing with, you know, younger guys who are going to change their mind for a litany of reasons. It's not always just the sport. And as I said earlier, and I'm telling you from experience, what are you going to say?
I know I'm going to get cut off. I just want to say real quick. I understand it's academics also. I understand that. But, I mean, can we just be honest right now? It's I would say maybe 90-10. I mean, do you really think a lot of these athletes that are going to, you know, Alabama or a lot of these SEC schools, that their graduation rates aren't that high? Do you really think they're going for academic reasons?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. That's not what I said, Jared. I didn't even imply that. What I'm saying is, guys.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Now, guys, sometimes the transfers happen. I think in this case, guys that are going to probably go to the NFL, it's because they want to get on the field and get 1 year at least under their belt, showing NFL people what they can do. You know, so they can maximize their worth. I agree. That we're on the same page. You know, me, Moose, we get that. You get that. Well, but what I'm saying, kids transfer sometimes because academics, because of social life, because they're too far from home, because maybe they don't like the coach, maybe they don't like a teammate. There's a lot of reasons. I've seen it. I've lived it.
You know, right. To play the point that Jared's making, though, if you do, though, there should be some sort of a commitment that protects the program as well, because you can't have. If you had no transfer rules, I understand.
Well, you can't just leave in the middle of the season and go somewhere else to play. You can't do that.
About during the course of the offseason.
You can after National Signing Day.
Well, once you sign, you're signed. But you can after the season. Like there's time where you can't just go in the middle of the year and just think some people might not realize
that. He's just making the point that Jared's just making the point of. You know, if you did not recruit, say, quarterbacks because you have, you know, three quarterbacks and you've got great depth.
Thanks, Joe.
There,
I appreciate the call.
And then you wake up on one morning and two of the three quarterbacks are transferring.
Right. Well,
and you know that's the point that he's making. It's not a perfect science, man.
No, it's not going to be either.
It's an imperfect world when you look at recruiting.
Right. Exactly.
But I'd rather err on protecting the players more so than protecting the program and protecting the coaches.
Me too.
That's where I'd probably be a little bit more beneficial if I'm going to lean one way to the young men that are not getting any kind of financial backing besides getting a scholarship and room and board and everything like that in that scenario.
Coaches are always looking for the next guy. always. Yeah, the players are not always looking for the next best school. Once they commit, they commit. No, I'm telling you. Once they get recruited and they commit verbal, those coaches are moving on to the next guy.
That's
their job.
I get that. I understand. But there are players that are looking. I mean, they might not be happy and then are looking to try and get out. That does happen.
But of course it does. But you not instantaneously.
That's
my point.
Not instantaneously.
Well, coaches, it's instantaneous.
Right.
They have
to. They're looking at strength and numbers.
Exactly.
Not every 4 or 5-star recruit is going to turn out to be an impact player on the college level.
Of course, no doubt.
855-212-4CBS. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. And sometimes I get tired of a little bit of nonsense.
Yeah, me too.
When college football season's going on and you have a dominant team, and usually that dominant team is Alabama. No, that team would beat the worst team in the National Football League, which is complete utter nonsense. All right, but people do that debate and everything and the like. Did you hear? And we know how good Zion Williamson is and how brilliant he is. A freshman forward for Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils. Where Jim Boeheim the other day, after the Orange pulled off the stunning upset, said he was Charles Barkley, except he wasn't as fat and he could shoot. At this stage of his career. But he compared him to Barkley, and Barkley, obviously a Hall of Fame NBA player. Now, you had a couple other former NBA players basically saying that Zion Williamson should stop playing college basketball right now.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing. It's like everything's so fast now, right? So Scottie Pippen, right, the great player from the Bulls and all that, he said this, and it's like about Williamson. The kid's amazing. There's no doubt. What is he, 18, 19 years old? He's a massive kid. He's athletic and fast, quick, amazing. Just, if you haven't seen him play, guys, I mean, like, he's...
Well, he's a man amongst men.
He's unbelievable.
He's a man amongst boys.
And there's, I mean, the freshmen on that team, they're all, I mean, RJ, what's his name, Barrett, another kid who's great, Jones, another kid. They're all, these freshmen are just phenoms on this team. So... But that's the thing. This kid's not even through his freshman year, and you got a guy like Pippen saying, all right, let's...
Shut it down.
Yeah, shut it down. Hang up your Blue Devil sneakers and go play to the NBA and,
Well, but that...
Like right now. Like, just stop playing now.
No, I get it that he should have played in Europe.
Right. Well, true. There you go. Good point.
If you're going to do that, go get paid. Like you've seen some other guys do, and not play in college basketball. That to me, once you sign up, Taz... And you decide to go that route of college basketball, you're in for it. Unless an injury happens, you're in it for the year.
Yeah, and you got
You cannot walk away from the program and say that's it. And we've seen other guys do it. Leonard Fournette basically quit on LSU.
Yeah, McCaffrey did it for Stanford.
Right, but that was just the bowl game.
The bowl games,
And you know what? Honestly, that does not bother me as much because unless you're playing for the national championship, and I don't think a guy would walk away from that. But if you're looking at a bowl game, that doesn't bother me as much. You cannot walk away, though, and say at this stage of the Duke Blue Devils regular season and say, you know what, guys, I'm done.
That's horrible.
I'm going to go sign with an agent. I'm done playing. I've proved enough here on the college level.
And for those of you who think, Nick Bosa did it for Ohio State, but he did it to an injury. He had that abdominal injury, Nick Bosa, and now he's fixing to probably be the first or second pick of the NFL draft.
It has. That injury probably scared him.
Yeah, and he's got to rehab the injury. By the time he came back from the injury.
Now, if you tell me this, if we could draw a comparison, if you tell me Zion Williamson, and hopefully it doesn't happen, suffers a significant knee sprain.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden
different
decides
story.
After that to shut it down?
That's a different story.
That's a different story.
Then that's like Nick Bosa.
Then I can understand.
Me too. I'm with you.
Then
same,
I can understand.
Then I
because
I,
that
too.
He's got too much to lose. I could completely
I said
understand.
Me, I too. I don't know if you heard that. I said me, I too.
Yeah.
Who talks like that, bro?
I don't know. But
who
move
says
on.
That? Me, I too.
You just did.
Me, I too, Moose.
We got the three coming your way next. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.